Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
God doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't throw us. We're not a game to Him. He's not throwing us up going, I wonder if, oh, well,
just have faith, little child. I'm your Father.
He doesn't play that way. He's very serious about His plan that's unfolding, serious enough to send His Son to die on a cross because He loves you and doesn't want you to feel endangered or like He's going to just play with you. He cares for you deeply. And He wants you to put your faith in Him completely. God doesn't drop us.
In today's message, Pastor Troy will remind you that God is sovereign and He makes no mistakes. Often during the most trying times in your life, you wonder, God can't be doing this to me. He doesn't understand. God knows all and sees all. He sees the situation you're in. He sees your pain, struggle, and sadness, but He doesn't look away. He's always near. He has a plan to turn your situation into something that can teach you good in the long run of your life. Now, here's Pastor Troy in Hebrews chapter 11 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
We're in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. Everyone operates with a certain amount of faith. We all live by faith already. We're used to it because it's what we have in us to operate with. You got in your car this morning. Maybe some of you got in your car. It takes maybe 10 minutes to get to church, and you got in with 10 minutes and 30 seconds of time to get here because you had great faith in your car and in the fact that traffic would be clear. You had faith. You understood certain things may happen, and so I'm banking on those things. Sometimes our faith is in the wrong things. We go into a restaurant, and usually we just sit down and we eat. They serve us the food. Some restaurants take greater faith than others, but we eat. We don't have a little cupbearer next to us. Here, you taste this. Let me watch you for 15 minutes. We don't do that. We just kind of eat. We trust that there are standards set in place, and we trust those things. We're operating by faith in so many areas. Cashing a check. It's a piece of paper with somebody's name on it and an amount. That's all it is, but we're happy. We get a check and we're happy. It's like it's in the bank. Yeah. Oh, I got a check. And we're so thankful because we're operating by faith. I am complete. It's not in the bank yet. You don't have cash in your pocket. No, but I got the check. And I'm going to deposit it. So we operate by faith. But faith is more than just believing something. It's putting full assurance in something without the fear that it will let you down. Faith. I believe so much, I can put all of my weight on it. Someone once said that biblical faith is betting your life on Christ. All of it. When my son was a baby, I used to throw him up in the air. And he didn't muster up any faith for that. He just didn't have any fear. He trusted me. I'd throw him up and he had a good time. Until someone said last service, they said, you dropped him. I said, no, just the opposite. He hit the ceiling. I threw him up, and we had the, I was just, you know, it turned into a game. And I thought, how high can I get? How close to the ceiling can I get? So, see, I was already off. I wasn't focusing on the safety of my child. Now I'm thinking, he's just an object. I get this right there. And God caught me. But he hit the ceiling, and he came down into my arms. I caught him still. But he had a different expression. We had the popcorn ceiling, which was in his hair. And he didn't look like he enjoyed the ride anymore. He had faith in me. He didn't muster it up. He just had it. He trusted me until I let him down. After that, when I would try to throw him up, there was this. So I'd be, throw him up. And like, oh, he won't let go. It's like, no, we're not doing that again. So he lost faith in me. That and the time I was swinging him and he, well, that's just another thing. So, my son should be able to trust me, and he can. I love him, but I'm imperfect, and I do let him down. But listen, God doesn't let us down. God doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't throw us. We're not a game to him. He's not throwing us up going, I wonder if, oh, well,
just have faith, little child. I'm your father.
He doesn't play that way. He's very serious about his plan that's unfolding, serious enough to send his son to die on a cross because he loves you and doesn't want you to feel endangered or like he's going to just play with you. He cares for you deeply, and he wants you to put your faith in him completely. God doesn't drop us, so we can trust him when he leads. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And this faith, as I said, it's not something we produce. Just as my son didn't have to generate it, he just trusted me. It's not something we have to produce. It's a gift of God. We all have the faith that we need to respond to him and to walk by faith. We all have the faith that we need right here, right now. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. You don't muster it up. You didn't create it. You have it. God's given it to you. This is why we and unsaved people can all operate by faith in the things that we do. So you can boast about your faith, but it was a gift. It's not your faith. He gave it to you. All we really do is respond to that which he places in our heart. We respond as it. When I came forward to receive Christ, it was the Lord who prompted me. The message ministered to me. He met me. He spoke to me. He knew things the pastor didn't know about. The pastor was saying something, but he was speaking right to my heart. I knew it was the Lord. And so I knew my response was not to that man behind the pulpit, but to God. And I thank God for that man who was being used. But I wasn't dealing with that man at that moment. I was dealing with God. When I came forward because I was dealing with God, and God was the one who enabled me, despite my fears, my concerns about what others would think, enabled me. I had the legs to do it. I had the message that I had received. The truth was before me. I had everything I needed to walk forward. The only thing that was in the way was sin. Not ability or faith. Those weren't in the way. God had given me all that I needed. It was sin. Not an inability, but an unwillingness kept me from walking forward that first week when I didn't walk forward. Well, Hebrews 11 has been called the Hall of Fame of Faith because we're given examples of men and women who exercised faith. They took steps beyond themselves, leaving families, leaving nations, leaving everything they had known to trust in God. And he gives us all these examples. Their lives were changed. Examples for us to encourage us. Examples to say, you can do it because others have done it. Others in worse situations than you. But before we get into those individuals, we're going to look at the first three verses because it's important to understand what faith is. Because the scripture says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we're going to see the essence of faith, the effect of faith, and an example of faith. Verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This is the essence of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's not that we hope for them, hope that they'll happen. It's that we haven't realized them yet. We haven't received them all yet, so they're ever before us, keeping us going toward them. The word substance means solid foundation. They're solid. They're something solid that gives us assurance. In other words, faith establishes the foundation of what we look forward to. We put our faith in certain things and it moves us. If my faith is in the fact that this education or this job will be everything my family needs, then I have put faith in it and it is going to move me to that. I'm going to do whatever I need to get to that. I think that's what will satisfy. That's what will provide. So I move toward that. You see, we all operate by faith, something in a distance that we think will help us or bring life to us, something solid. This is why truth is so important, because we do live this way, but faith is only as good as the object of that faith. So if what you put your faith in isn't true, isn't truly going to provide or give you what you need, isn't going to fulfill, then you're going to end up on a dead end. You're going to get it. You're going to obtain it. And you're going to find yourself worse off than when you had hope in it. Because now you've realized it and you go, where do I go from here? This didn't satisfy. This didn't fulfill. It's why so many lose the will to live. They achieve certain things. Things that they thought were everything that they needed, but they turn out to be dead ends. Jesus said, I came that you may know the truth. Knowing that we were lost, we're looking, we're searching for something to put hope in and faith in so that it would move us toward it. He says, look, I've come that you might look at me, the light of the world, that you might put your hope in the right thing. And the thing about faith is you walk with an assurance. When you have faith, there's a confidence.
Pastor Troy will return soon with the second half of today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock, so stay with us. If you're enjoying the teachings of Pastor Troy Neely and would like more information about this program, we invite you to visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you will also find an archive of previous messages from verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and book by book studies through the Bible. We'd also encourage you to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, as you'll be able to gain access to the latest teachings as soon as they're posted. That website again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. We're blessed to be a part of your life through the ministry of Building on the Solid Rock. We pray you're blessed as you continue to tune in. Now, back to Pastor Troy with more of today's message. Building on the solid rock.
I remember watching the Texas versus USC college football national championship some years ago. And it was one of the best games that I've ever seen. An amazing comeback on the part of Texas. Obviously, we're in San Antonio. No, just kidding. But it was an amazing game. And all throughout it, I was on pins and needles. What? Oh my goodness, this is pull your hair out type of a game. And so at the end of it, there was obviously that relief of victory for those who voted for Texas. But listen, during the game, I was all concerned and sweating, and I didn't know the outcome. But I have watched that game since. And do you know when the fumbles happen and the incompletions and they don't make the fourth down and the bad plays happen? I'm not going, oh no, oh my goodness, what's going to happen? I don't do that now. I'm very comfortable. You know why? I know the end. I know the end. Now, sometimes I go, oh man, wow, they almost lost it there. You know, I look back and see things that happened, but my emotions aren't so overwhelmed by what's going on that I'm uncertain. When we have faith in the Lord, because He says, I've watched it all, I already know what's going to happen, here's the end, that's the same kind of a confidence we're supposed to have in Him. I know the storms come, the bad plays happen, the moments befall all of us. But our confidence isn't in the moment, that there won't be mistakes and things that happen. Our confidence is in the end. We know at the end. No matter how many times I would watch that, Texas still fell behind several times. Did some things they shouldn't have done. They don't fix them. It's the replay. But I don't sweat it because I know the end. When God says, I know the end, and this is going to be what happens, and if you follow me and you trust me, you can be assured, then we should have that kind of a confidence in Him. When we really put our faith in the Lord, we don't worry about tomorrow. We don't have to. He's got it in his hands. Now, when we try to manipulate and get things done the way we want them done, then go ahead and worry. Because he didn't promise that everything you do will be fruitful. He said, if you plant yourself in water, if you let me be your guide, if you let me be your Lord, and I lead you, thus you walk by faith, because faith is a response to what he is leading. It's not something you generate. You don't just come up with it. I'm going to do that by faith. No, no, no. If he didn't say, then what you're doing isn't by faith in him. It's by faith in hope that that works out. But when we put our faith in him and we're led by him, you can have every bit of confidence that whatever happens, he knew about, and you will be okay. What do you do with the promises of God as you read them in the scriptures? I know some, I underline all of the promises of God. Or some will highlight them so they stand out even more, and some with their favorite color because they're the promises of God. And those are all great things. We can find them, and the promises of God are very important. But let me ask you, are they a sure foundation for your life? So that you're not tossed to and fro because you have the Word of God and His promises. And you know, I'm living what He has asked me to live. That's the best place to be. Because there'll be many people who try to shake you. But when you know you're doing what God's asked you to do and you're trusting in Him, you don't have to try to explain it to people or convince anybody. You know you're on a sure foundation. How do you respond if, let's say, you get an income tax check? Some of you are going, what's that? Let's say you get a check. Some money comes in, you overpaid, and a big check comes back, and there you are, and you've got money in your hand. How do you react? How do you respond? I bet you're excited. You think, yeah, we can pay those bills. We're going to go on vacation. Oh, man, woohoo, this is good. But it's just a piece of paper with somebody's signature on it. But you're excited. You have faith. Now, let me ask you, when you read the promises of God that morning in your devotion where he said, don't worry, I will take care of you, did you act just as excited? Were you just as excited when you read that? That's that reminder. See, that's why we have to read the scriptures often. Not that it's new. We know most of it. We need to be reminded of it. And we need to be excited about it. Like, oh, that's right. I am worried. He said, don't worry because I have you. He has me. I just needed to be reminded. The promises of God are to be a sure foundation for our life. So that is the substance. Our life is on a solid foundation. Our faith is in him, and he who promised is faithful. But also it says it's the evidence of things unseen or not seen. It's a parallel phrase. It's written kind of poetic-like. Like he makes one statement and then adds to that statement to make it even more meaningful. And the idea is that a man of faith not only has a solid assurance, but that that person will act. There'll be something that produces evidence of that man's faith. You say you have it, but I don't see you living it. So there is no substance to it. There will be an evidence of things not seen. When we trust in God, we can't physically see or hear him. It gives us evidence, though, or it gives others evidence that we have been touched by him when they see things changing in our lives because an invisible God has touched our life. There's no other explanation for it. What happened to you? It's that church. Are you in a cult? And you begin, your life begins to change. Well, you do have to be careful for that. There are those out there. But that's when you're not always doing something in Jesus' name. You're always doing something in that man's name. So-and-so's name, so-and-so's name. Be careful of that when the pastor or the leader becomes the center and not Christ. But when Christ is the center, they should notice differences. And they may accuse you of being in a cult because you're totally devoted. And they'll say things like, well, I love the Lord too. I'm just not going to get all weird about it. Well, that's too bad. Because there is no more exciting life than to trust in the Lord. And there's a difference in just believing that he's there and putting your faith in him. An example is a man who was walking tightropes, put his tightrope between two high-rise buildings in a New York City so that there was traffic and obviously the fall wouldn't feel all that good anyway. And so he would walk back and forth with crowds of people gathering on top of both sides. And to make it more interesting, he took a wheelbarrow and walked forward, backward, all the way across. And so as he stopped on one of the sides, he asked the crowd that was gathered, "How many of you believe that I can walk across this rope to the other side without falling? I can do it with this wheelbarrow." All of them raised their hand. They had seen him do it. But then he said, "How many have faith enough to get in the wheelbarrow and cross with me?" That's the difference in just believing that something can happen or something can be. I believe, yeah. It doesn't move you. It doesn't motivate you. It doesn't put you in the cart. And faith. Faith puts you in the cart. You know why? Because God said, "Get in the cart. Follow me," is what he said. So there's a substance. An Old Testament example of those who walk by faith were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were given a choice. Bow before what you can see, the golden image before the one you can see, Nebuchadnezzar. Or take your stand with God, who you can't see. In fact, having been in Babylon, where was God anyway, right? They're in a land not their own. Their town, where God was supposedly God defending, was destroyed, and Babylon had done it. So who are you going to put your faith in now? Just bow. But they didn't. They stood, and they stood out against an entire culture. Everyone else was doing one thing. And so you can see these three Hebrew children not bowing. Listen to their response when they were asked. It's Daniel 3:16 through 18. "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, 'O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter.'" That's a confident answer, by the way. It's saying, look, you don't even have to ask us. You didn't even have to ask us. You know our answer. We're not wavering. "If that is the case," that is, that they would be killed, "our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up." That was a bold stand when it wasn't popular to do it. They didn't care what the result was. They said, "Hey, look, God's able to deliver us, and he might deliver us. But even if our witness is that of a martyr and we die, we're willing to accept that because we believe in God." That's faith. That's being all in. No wonder God could do so many great things. And God obviously saved them. They went into the fire. The ropes were burned, but nothing on them was, or even smelled like smoke. And it was as if one in the fire was with them, like the Son of God. A sign that God was with them. Sometimes he keeps us from the difficult times. Other times he's with us in the difficult times. But we will be okay. We will always be okay if we stand with him. That's a difference, by the way. We don't ask God to go with us. The reason God is with us is because we said yes to go with him. He leads us, we follow, and then we can confidently say, "God is with me." It's really the wrong way to phrase it, but it's actually correct. He is with you because he said, "Let's do this." So I'm with you in this.
We are so glad you joined us today for Pastor Troy's study in the book of Hebrews. If you missed any part of today's teaching or would like to explore other Building on the Solid Rock messages, we invite you to visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. You'll also find information about Pastor Troy and the church behind this ministry, Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. If you're in the San Antonio area, we'd love to have you join us for one of our weekly services. We meet Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. to worship Jesus and learn all we can from the Word. You'll find location information and driving directions at buildingonthesolidrock.com. From all of us here at Building on the Solid Rock, we'd like to say thank you for tuning in today. We pray you continue to seek and find God's hand in your life and that you enjoy learning more about Him every day. Join us again as Pastor Troy continues sharing from the book of Hebrews, right here on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us.
Come.